Good morning, cooks.
Good morning.
How's everybody? Excellent. How can you not be good on a beautiful morning like this? It's great. I'm sorry. I'm going to front run you a minute. Welcome back, James and Kay and the family. Good to have you. Good to have you. On behalf of the minister and the session, the staff, we welcome you to this morning's service. In addition, we joyously welcome any visitors that we might have today. We're so glad you chose Cooks to worship with us this morning. Please see one of the ushers if you're here. They will have some information for you. As always, we'd love to have a way to contact you and to send you some information if that's so accommodating to you. We appreciate that very much. So, last Sunday, the daddy-daughter dance was a huge success. I think there's some pictures going on up here. Yes? We had over 75 people in Fellowship Hall. It was tremendous. And we had a great time Saturday getting decorated and so forth. So it was really, it was a community event, both the community of cooks and the community surrounding us. It was terrific. If you get a chance, these will be published on, I'm sure, the website. So take a look at all the photos. It was a tremendous event for us. We appreciate very much. Alyssa did a wonderful job in getting everything planned and out. And then the women of the church, just all kind of groups pitched in and got it done. This Tuesday, believe it or not, Lent is on us. It's March, folks. It's March. Tuesday, we will have the Fat Tuesday Pancake Supper at 6 to 7:30 p.m., long a tradition here at Cook's, so please attend if you have time. following immediately on Wednesday, the minister will be here in the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, Jason, is that right? In the sanctuary from 11:30 to 1:30 for the receiving of the ashes, if you so desire. The next thing, we will be collecting non-perishable food items for Nourish Up Sundays in March, and if you want to get further information, it's in the bulletin. The flowers this Sunday are memory of our parents, Wiley and Madeline Duckworth, and Fred and Isabel Parker by Rick and Dolores and Daryl. This Sunday begins a brand-new spring adult Bible study. And 6 o'clock this evening here in the sanctuary. And I think we have a video that if you'd take just a moment to take a look at this, and we'll continue on.
But there was a day when we had to read a map while driving or follow the instructions given by a friend. That's fine until you miscounted the traffic lights or overlooked one road on the map. Relief came when you saw a street sign or mileage marker confirming you were on the right path, or panic when you discovered you were lost. When it comes to finding and knowing God, how do we know we're on the right path? Jesus. Jesus claimed to be God, but how can we know he's right? We look at the signs. In the Gospel of John, we see 8 distinct and unmistakable signs that point to exactly who Jesus is. Join us as we discover and ponder the wonderful truth of who Jesus is. All signs point to him.
So, 6 o'clock this evening, if you would join us here in the sanctuary, and Jason and Fred will be presenting the first in a series of the new series. So, have a great week coming up. If you'd stand now, and we're going to have songs. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome this morning. Thank you for your flexibility, and as we are continuing our kind of new schedule and tweaking things, and had a lot of input. So we are going to be doing a traditional hymn much more often. So I thought, what would be better than Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee?
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord above. Hearts of gold, love bows before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of the out away. Give the loving autumn of madness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround me, earth and heaven reflect thy rays, stars and angels seen around me, center of unbroken praise. Divine. strikes us under in the triumph song of
life. Amen. How can we not be joyful when we're here? Amen.
Amen.
It's always a blessing. Psalmist said God inhabits the praises of his people. Well, he's going to do so in habitation today, that's for sure.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying, man, we are going to see the King. No more crying, man, we are going to see the King. No more crying, man, we are going to see the King.
Joyful hearts, let us pass the peace of Christ with our brethren and sisters.
Every week?
Yeah, and
the way that she gets away with it is that she takes them, some of them are short, she takes them, finds them, puts them all in one thing, and then puts it in the house.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul.
He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil.
For you are with me. Your rod and your staff make comfort.
Let us continue in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather today with hearts full of expectation, eager to experience your presence, to feel close to you, Father God, in the transformative power of your word. As we reflect this morning on the feeding of the multitudes, we are reminded of the miraculous feeding of the many, a testament to your boundless love and abundant grace in a world that so often looks at things through the lens of scarcity. In that sacred moment, Father God, you took what was little and multiplied it beyond measure, revealing to us that you are the true bread of life, sustaining every soul with hope and renewal. Be with us this morning, Father God, as we worship you, providing us an abundance of your Holy Spirit that we might feel and know your presence so that we might then in turn do your will in the world. Let us bring what is within us, insufficient and meager though it may be, to the table, expecting you to multiply it to abundance with your grace and your mercy and your provision. Be with us in this worship service, Father God, in all things and in all ways. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of the coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. Our nature is to be self-deceptive. Our nature tells us that we're right when the world around us is wrong. And yet what we find time and time again is that we slide back into old patterns of behavior, patterns of sin that are not good for us. But the Bible gives us hope. The Word gives us cause for joy even. That tells us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. And so we come before the Lord with these sacred words of confession, daring to say what is true to our soul and confessing inwardly with a moment of silence so that we might purge ourselves of that which keeps us fully from God. So join me in our prayer of confession this morning, as we seek to confess our sin. Merciful God, we confess that in our pursuit of success, we have sometimes compromised our integrity and neglected compassion. Forgive us, renew our hearts, and guide our work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful and awesome truth, that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, a sinless man, to do what we could not do for ourselves. He lived a sinless life and was faithful to the Father, even to the point of death than death on a painful cross, Roman cross. But our Lord does something majestic through that sacrifice. Through that sacrifice, we are again reunited fully with God through his atoning life, death, and resurrection. And we look forward to the redemption of our bodies, to eternal life in the kingdom that comes. Friends, I invite you now to believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven forever.
Amen.
And now with joyful hearts, let us rise and sing what it is we believe.
We believe.
Be seated, and we'd like to invite all the kids, fifth grade and younger, to come forward for a time that's just for them with Miss Weldy. Bev.
Got it? Yeah. I'm on? Thank
it's a
you.
Power switch.
Power switches help. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody today? Good. Who's happy? Yeah? If you're happy, I'm going to ask you 1, 2, 3, say me real loud, okay? Okay, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, me. Okay, I think we got them awake now. Today, Pastor Jason is going to talk about feeding the hungry with the grown-ups. So we're going to talk a little bit about it, too. How many here like bread? Toast, hot dog rolls, pizza? The dough is bread pizza. That got to end up, yeah. Yeah, that, too. Well, I have, we just named a whole bunch of different kinds of bread. So I have a basket here that has all different kinds of bread. And what I'm going to do is start with you older girls, okay? Each take a piece of bread out and then pass it around so everybody can look at the different kinds of bread. That's not real, so don't try to eat it. Just look at it. Yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of bread. Well, a long time ago, there were people, lots and lots and lots of people, that were going to hear Jesus speak. And they traveled a long, long ways. Now, there were a lot more people. We have a lot of people here in church. And if you look back there and see all the people, there were many, many, many more people there. And they were tired, and they were dirty, and they were hungry. And the 12 disciples said to Jesus, they're tired and they're hungry, and we should send them to the villages so they can get something to eat. And Jesus said, well, we will feed them. Well, all they had were five loaves of bread. Who can count to five? You can count. Well, you look, one, two, three, four, five. She did it. All right. Five loaves of bread. That's not going to feed very many people, is it? Oh, no, not very many. If you even use two slices for a sandwich, a loaf of bread goes fast. Well, the disciples were really worried about how in the world were they going to feed all those 5,000 people with just five loaves of bread. And Jesus said, he put the basket there, he gave it to them, and he said, just start feeding them. And you know what? There were 12 disciples. There ended up being 12 baskets, and each of them were to do 50 people. And they went around, and there was enough bread for everybody. Okay, put them back in the basket for me. Thank you. One missing. Whoops. Okay. Don't fight over it. There will be bread for everybody. Yeah, thank you very much. So anyway, there was enough bread out of those five loaves that fed 5,000 people. Have you ever been in a big crowd where there's people all over? Like maybe at a parade or somewhere? Yeah? Or when you go shopping and maybe at the mall and there's lots of people? Imagine 5,000 people and they all got fed. And they were so grateful. And then God said he was the bread of life. So that means that when we eat bread, it's a symbol. It's a token, maybe just a sign that we're eating from the bread of life, which means we would have life ever after if we love Jesus. So can you pray with me? Okay. Dear God, just as Jesus used the bread to feed 5,000, we pray that you will use everyone here today to bless everyone they meet each day, so the blessings will grow like the bread. Amen.
Our special today is called Days of Elijah, and it talks about the times. And the times that we're in are really no different from the times of the people that we read in Scripture. Elijah, Ezekiel, David, Moses. There were people that were hungry. There were people in need. There were people that were lost. And the whole reason that we have the Word of God is because with that Word we are saved through His Son. Amen?
Amen.
And this song talks about this. It's called Days of Elijah. And all these things were happening, but the bottom line is that the Lord is coming, and it's going to be the year of Jubilee, and when that happens, it's going to be an incredible party, and more incredible than anything we've ever seen or experienced. So these are these days of Elijah, and pay attention to the chorus, because the chorus is what we're going to be singing in the benediction as we go out today, so...
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow, riding on the clouds.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Gracious God, giver of the Holy Spirit, be with us, attending to us as we hear your word read and proclaimed. Announce to us the good news of your provision in the midst of our scarcity. Allow us to feel your abundance all around us, Father God. You have truly blessed us with this reading of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This morning's Old Testament reading is taken from Psalm 8. Please refer to the screen, or you can find it on page 535 in the Pew Bibles. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of these seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We continue our series on the Gospel of John, which will temporarily end today because we're heading into Lent. Now, I had initially thought that I would do the seven deadly sins during Lent, but as I started preparing for that work, I realized just how kind of depressing it is to think about sin constantly. It is, I think, therapeutic for the soul on occasion during Lent, but I don't know that we need 7 weeks, 6 weeks of it. So I think I'm going to change that, and I'll be asking for your prayers for inspiration because I need to come up with another sermon series for Lent pretty quick now. Today we continue with the Gospel of John, and we get to the fourth sign. You know, we've talked in the Gospel of John about these signs that Jesus performs and how each one of them touches not only on the human need, but it also points us to something greater about our Lord. And today's reading and today's miracle is no different. As Bev already told you, we're going to be reading the story of the feeding of the multitudes. 5,000 is the number given to us. But it's helpful for us to remember that they were kind of patriarchal in their mindset back then and only counted the men, so that the crowd would have been much larger than just 5,000 people. It would have included women and children and those others that were following Jesus. And yet what we hear is a story of miraculous provision in the midst of a great need. I invite you now to hear these words from the Gospel of John. I read from the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 14. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing what they intended, that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we who live through it remember, there weren't many bright spots on 9/11/2001 as the planes crashed into the Twin Towers. I think we who live through it all remember that fateful day. There were, in the midst of great tragedy, though, some stories that stand out that speak to the abundance and providence of God. And surely one of them was the people of Gander, Newfoundland. Sorry, it's a weird pronunciation of a strange name. There, this small little hamlet up in Canada became the recipient of nearly 70 airline passenger jets that were forced to land as a result of the bombings. Now, what is amazing is that these 7,000 people represented a huge number more than the actual residents of Gander. And yet somebody and some group within the crowd looked at it not as an event to run from, but rather as an event to show the town's heart. Those people in Gander did something amazing. For days upon days, they took care of these 7,000 people, setting up shelters, even inviting some of the people into their homes. But as you can imagine, there was much more going on than just providing them a place to stay. The people of Gander figured out a way to share medications with those that were in need, as well as a variety of other things as this tragedy was turned at least into a temporary respite for these individuals. It was a good thing. The people of Gander looked at that particular situation through the lens of abundance rather than through the lens of scarcity, which is much more our mindset. I'll never forget in an economics class, we were taught that economics is the study of the allocation of scarce resources among competing ends. As I look at the paint flaking off of my car like dandruff, and I see a microwave oven that needs to be repaired and an oven that only cooks on convection, believe me, I look at things through the lens of scarcity as I try to line up repairs and dollars and make it all work. But we know that God's abundance is with us. And we hear it in this story that is so powerful for us to gather. Because it is so important that we remember that our Father God is limitless, whereas we, with our meager and insufficient resources, are not. And we get in this story a powerful tale of what it means to bring everything you've got and just trust in the abundance of the Lord. Our passage today is the feeding of the multitudes of 5,000, as we talked about, which would have been considerably more. Now, these people aren't there just wandering around. They're following Jesus very specifically for a good reason. He has come into the area and has performed thus far 3 miraculous signs already: the turning of the water into wine at Cana, the healing of the official's son, and of course the man we read about last week and the healing of the pool of Bethsaida. These signs have all shown the people, as well as the disciples that are gathered with him, that this Jesus Christ is something beyond the ordinary. they are starting to line up that Jesus is exactly who John the Baptist proclaimed him to be at the very beginning of the Gospel of John. Here is the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. This Jesus Christ that comes in the fullness of time is the one that atones for us. But he does so much more than that. This group of people that were gathering him, were following him, hopeful and expecting to see more miraculous things. But Jesus looks at the crowd and sees something they might not have anticipated yet themselves. He notices that there's a multitude and that they will soon be very hungry. We should stop a moment and pause just in this revelation of God. This is an important piece of what it means to be a Christian, because we don't worship an unknown God that is beyond our comprehension. We don't worship a God that is off in the twilight, off in the stars somewhere, not caring about us. We worship Jesus Christ, God made flesh, who indeed cares about us and cares about our physical being. We get two stories, don't we? The turning of the water into the wine and the feeding of the multitudes that very clearly show us that God cares about how we're provided for. This is an important realization that God isn't some abstract entity, but is instead a personally knowable person in Jesus Christ who has come and sacrificed his life, and he is providing for us now through the power of the Holy Spirit all of our needs. He's taking care of us, mind, body, and soul. This is a good thing as we realize that God knows our needs. That means that as we sit here in our need, and maybe it be a financial one, maybe it be a health one, maybe it be a relationship need, we sit here knowing and believing that God knows what we need. Do you believe that? That God already has in his heart and mind exactly everything you need? Well, he does. Because God loves you intimately and completely and totally. Your name is inscribed in the book of life. You have been blessed with eternity through our Lord and Savior. And now that provision is made clear to us in the here and now as we have our material needs met. The material needs of this particular group were great, 5,000 plus people, and all very much living at a subsistence level, in a subsistence level economy. These were not well-off people. We couldn't expect them to go to the Harris Teeter and get a pound of rice. To eat took tremendous effort and resources. And so as Jesus sees their needs, he's seeing the truth, the total truth of what this people need. God sees our need. He sees the physical needs that we have, and he also sees our needs for forgiveness. He sees our need to let go of the things, the poisonous toxin of sin, and to dwell richly in his spiritual and holy and eternal light. And he's giving us the Holy Spirit every day in order to do that. Just think about that. You have an asset, an assistant, an ally in your life that never leaves you, that is as near to you as your next breath in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will provide. Provides for your need, both physically as well as your need spiritually, to be forgiven of sin. But amongst these people stood Jesus' disciples. Now we should expect a little bit more from them. Because here is a group of people that were privy to the turning of the water into wine and now had seen two miraculous healings. And yet, when Jesus asks the question to kind of test Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Isn't it interesting to note that Philip comes forward with an answer from an economics textbook, doesn't he? He comes from the lens of scarcity. He says it would take more than a year's wages just to provide one bite for everybody here. He's not even considering that this could be done, which is amazing because Jesus has already shown himself to have miraculous power. Why doesn't Philip trust Jesus in this moment? Why don't we trust Jesus sometimes in similar circumstances? Why do we wonder what's going to happen when we already know? that God is going to do his miraculous work in our lives and around us, because he's promised to provide for us body, mind, soul, and spirit. He cares for us. So this subsistence level people that are all going to be very hungry, and Philip, he wants to be an economics professor and says, we're never going to have enough. It's impossible. What if the people of Gander had thought it was impossible to take care of 7,000 people? Would the shelters have gone up? Would people have been allowed into other people's homes? Probably not, because they believed that it was possible to do. Andrew comes with another answer, doesn't he? Oh, I should say this. I found this. Let me read this. Notice that John tells Jesus that he asked this question to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. This test wasn't to embarrass Philip, but to reveal something important. Before God can show his abundance, we must first honestly recognize our limitations. The recognition of limitation is not failure. It's the necessary first step in a journey towards God's provision. Too often we try to provide solutions relying solely on our own resources, intelligence, or strength. But it's when we open up ourselves to God's intervention that truly miraculous things can happen. It's when we reach the end of ourselves and lift up our hands to God and say essentially, I got nothing, you got this, that God is poised to do his miraculous works. We hear another answer from Andrew, don't we, when Jesus speaks. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go again with so many? What he sees here is also scarcity, but he at least is willing to bring what meager resources that have been accumulated to the situation. So it's slightly better, but he's still not anticipating it going to work. He's still very much limited by a scarcity mindset, by this belief that there isn't enough to go around, that we need to hoard and keep everything for ourselves. He instead is willing to bring, and we get this picture of this little boy who's brought his entire lunch, which is just 5 small barley loaves. That's significant. The barley is meant to alert us that this is a very meager offering. These loaves would have been the lowest common denominator form of food. They were not good and not sufficient, certainly, for over 5,000 people. And these 2 fish, which would likely have been pickled or dried, this was this boy's entire lunch. And yet something in this young boy opens his heart up to the situation, and he simply says, here it is, all of it, all every kit and caboodle of it. And God blesses it, doesn't he? God takes that meager, small, scarce offering, and he multiplies it, feeding over 5,000 people. And this is one of the interesting differences between John's gospel and the other gospels, in that in this telling of the feeding of the 5,000, it's Jesus himself that hands out the food. He goes to everyone. What an intimate, close connection that must have been, that Jesus fed. And the disciples go around behind him, gathering up the pieces that are falling to the ground. And when they collect them all, there's 12 abundant and overflowing baskets. It's very clearly designed to show us that our Lord and Savior not only provides in those situations, but he provides magnificently, and dare I say it again, abundantly. He provides. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is with you now by the power of his Spirit, knowing what you need, and is poised and positioned to provide it? I do. I believe that Jesus Christ will hear our prayers because the Bible tells us so. I believe that God not only hears our prayers, but that he does indeed answer them when we lift up to God what weighs down upon our hearts, minds, and souls. God provides lavishly. We take what meager things that we have, and we give them to God, and we watch and see what amazing things happen. You know, I don't think I've told you all this, But I've seen something. I've seen miraculous things here. No kidding. They may not quantify what everybody would think of it would be, but one in particular stands out. You know, because of COVID, I was here 2 years before we celebrated a homecoming. And coming into homecoming, our attendance wasn't really great. And here we had a ton of people coming, and the day arrived, and the pews were really full. And my fear was, there's not going to be enough food. I sat here and preached the sermon. Who knows what I said that day, but I'm going to tell you what my inner monologue was. There's not going to be enough food. There's not going to be enough food. There's not going to be enough food. Yeah, shame on me. Exactly. Should have known cooks, right? Well, it was COVID. I didn't hardly know y'all for the first 3 years, right? But we saw when we went out, didn't we? There were tables upon tables. I don't know where the food came from, honestly, because I just don't. And it was more, what I remember is it was being more than sufficient because I did my standard rounds and talked to people instead of eating. And then when it's time to eat, there's very little things left. Not that day. Not that day. There was an abundance of things left. Friends, I'm here to tell you that that story can be true in a broader and more fulsome sense to all of us. As we take these meager things that we have got and just simply lift up them up to God, entrusting them into His service, God is going to take that and multiply it, and there will be an abundance. Do you believe it? Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is, in fact, an abundance here set before us today. An abundant feast that is designed just for us. We're invited to this table by our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're invited by Him directly and personally. He invites us to come to this table to take in nourishment, both physical nourishment in bread and the fruit of the vine, as well as spiritual nourishment. We come before this table trusting and believing that what God has given us is indeed sufficient, sufficient for our minds, bodies, soul, and spirit. As always, we have in our baskets both regular bread and gluten-free bread. The gluten-free bread is found in the cupcake tins. So if you want gluten-free, use that. Please remember that we hold the bread and juice to take it all at one time here at Cook's as a symbol of our unity in the Spirit of God. So we come now to this table trusting the Lord that He will provide richly and abundantly for us. And we begin with a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, before there was anything, there was You, O Lord. And Your love demanded creation, and so You created us and populated this world with everything we'll ever encounter. We thank You for this, not only for the way that it provides for us, but the way that it shows forth Your handiwork to the world. You are indeed a God that astounds with goodness and mercy, but also with this beautiful physical creation that You've brought into being. We marvel at Your works, knowing and trusting that there is a divine and creative force behind it, one that not only knows and loves us, but that has prepared a place for us and has even prepared a table for us to come and eat at. So we thank You, Father God, for Your gift of creation. We thank You also for the gift of Your salvation that You've made known to us through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By His wonderful sacrifice, we are drawn yet again into perfect communion with You so that we can enjoy this table without regret. We come forward to this table knowing and trusting that Jesus Christ Himself has set the table and prepared it for us. Thank You, Father God, also for Your Holy Spirit. Be with these, the gifts of bread and juice, doing something and drawing us into spiritual and wonderful communion with You, Father God. Enable this bread and juice to be a portal for us to enjoy an ecstatic communion with You and with all of the saints that have gone before us. Enable this table to be something beyond the ordinary. Allow us to receive Your grace and mercy in a physical way. Bless us, Father God, we pray. And we conclude this prayer praying the way Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to the Father, he broke the bread, giving it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink of this cup, you do this in remembrance of me." Friends, every time we eat of this loaf and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until he comes again in glory. So I invite you now to come to the table and see and taste and eat. This is the bread of life. Thank you. the bread of life. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you fed us during this service and nourished us both physically and spiritually. Father God, as we prepare to depart, we just ask that you prepare us with this sacrament, drawing us nearer to you so that we might celebrate you and share you with the world. In Christ's name, amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we can truly experience the abundance and overflowing love and mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we utter these words to God, we expect God not only to hear them, but indeed to respond and respond powerfully. So let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day and for this time together. Bless us, Father God, in all ways and all forms so that we might share your abundance with the world. We ask you, Father God, to care for all of the names on our prayer list, name especially today Matt Thompson, Ezra Petit, Pam Crosby, Norm Thompson, James Harper, Patty Brown, Nancy Smith. We continue all our prayers for the victims of wildfires in California and hurricanes in North Carolina and the many that stand in need of intercessory prayer. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong and awesome name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. Please rise. Where is your scarcity mindset today? Do you see only the ways in which your what you hope to see happen can't? Instead, bring what little resources you have, meager though they may be, insufficient to the task, and surrender them like that little boy to God, and watch what God does to multiply it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. In Christ's name, amen.